Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Iron Butterfly. Equipment do you carry with you from place to place?
As much as the air freight gets there.
How many pounds worth?
About 1,500.
1,500 pounds?
Increase it up to about 1,800.
What does it consist of?
Super Beetles, which we've rewired with our electrician's help, of course.
You have that wild sound. Is that what you set out to do? Are you the guys who originated a heavy sound?
Well, we just take a song and we all add our own thing to it, you know.
You know, there's a study underway that says rock and roll music and amplification is hurting people's hearings. Do you ever worry about that, your hearing loss?
No. What'd you say?
I've been had again.
Well, that was entertaining, that last part. That'll teach me to not listen to the whole recording. Okay, welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber and Captain B2. Pour it out thick like honey, bittersweet like molasses. Seeking your proliferous journey to profit to the empathetic masses. Calling on cathartic release, expel your demons. If but for a moment increase, then cease them. Quell their influence, let them not commit treason. And now today's focus is on prompts by Beautiful Bizarre Magazine's 11th curated exhibition, Midnight Garden, some of whom were the winners of the 2020 Beautiful Bizarre Art Prize. Whilst it is not a prerequisite, we do encourage you to join Late Night Poets Group on allpoetry.com. How's everyone going tonight?
Splendid. And thank you for playing one of my favorite oldies. I love In a Gata De Vida. That is a great, great song.
It was an interesting contest to try and pair a song with. So I thought, let's go full rock mode and give this
a
go.
Oh, I love it. I loved it. Great choice. I'm going to have to go with some Black Sabbath or Led Zeppelin later on. Do Iron Man. That'll wake people up. How are you this evening?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Technically, it's the afternoon over here in Australia, but I'm awake, I'm prepared, and you'd think it would be easier to do this show in the afternoon, but I think in some respects, when you've got quarantine time in the middle of the night, it's a bit easier. So, but we're going strong, so it's all good here. And how are you tonight, Mika?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Hey, glad to hear your voice.
And yours too.
Okay, well, I guess we better get this show started. So I'll give the first one Gander. So this one is by Sea Glass. And it's called Night Swimming to Net Tiger Sky, Splays Umber Rays. Red water skin and parting waves I dive and plunge salt water each downward stroke moving me closer to the city of dreams. Neptune's palace hidden in the Panthalassa Sea where the water sings a piping song through coral reefs and conch shells. I stop, swirl, hear the call of the whale, tread water swirl, dive deeper and merge with a shoal of blue and yellow striped fish. Shepherded by mermaids and octopus, we are night swimming to Neptune's palace. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Good Thanks. Beginning.
And, Captain, did you want to read the relevant part of the author note, just the first three lines?
Sure. She says, in the last period of the Paleozoic era, the most famous supercontinent of Earth was formed and named Pangaea. The giant ocean surrounding Pangaea was called Panthalassa. And she chose prompt one, which is a piece of artwork. It's called Night Swimming. It's by Joseph LaRusso. And it's a lovely thing. It's a round piece, very unusual. So, it's a woman swimming among underwater vegetation, and the water is very, she looks very serene. So it's a great take on the prompt, very good interpretation.
And just to interject, Captain, I forgot to ask Mika, was there anyone waiting to come online, or is it the Three Amigas?
Oh, it's just us Three Musketeers tonight.
Woo! We'll see how that travels.
I brought the chips.
And, Captain, did you
people,
want to make the first?
Yeah, for all those folks who are fans of popcorners, they now have them in sour cream and chive. Yay!
And, Captain, did you want to make the first comment on the poem?
Sure. I like the visual imagery in this. If you pair it with her chosen prompt, it tells a beautiful story. And it's told in the first person, which I think is very imaginative. I dive and plunge salt water, each downward stroke moving me closer to the city of dreams. I stop, swirl, hear the call of the whale. Beautifully written, and if you look at the prompt and then read the poem, it has so much visual imagery that she's derived from that painting. It's quite impressive.
Thank you, Captain. And Mika, what were your thoughts on the poem?
I thought it was really beautifully written. I kind of felt myself overtaken by the imagery in it, especially with where the water sings a piping song through coral reefs and conch shells. I stop, swirl, hear the call. I felt like it was just very immersive.
Great comment.
Thank you, Maker. It was a great comment. And I suppose I thought there was a really ethereal quality to this rite, and a romanticism in the concept and execution of the poem. For me, my favorite part was Tiger Sky Splays Umber Rays, Red Water Skin and Parting Waves. I loved the vivid imagery and colors depicted in that phrase. And then also, Mika, I was drawn to your section as well, your favorite part. I just thought it was a truly beautiful take on the prompt and very sensory, as you mentioned, Captain, as well.
Yeah.
And next we have a, let me just bring it up, a recording by Rob Cohen. So, Mika, when you're ready, if you want to... that?
Yes, let me, okay. Don't mind me, I'm just having technical issues. I found it.
Take your time, girlfriend. You're our technician, so we wait on you.
Opening.
Thank you.
Each night when my sleep reaches deep, creeping into the crevices of dreams' unknown kingdom, I see a house among the pines. In these haunting dreams I appear as a child. Among the pines I find a cabin I have seen in a film, which I vaguely recall from a childhood screening. Outside, wind violently howls through the tall trees, rustling the leaves. A torn satin scarf hangs without moving. Gates of sharpened bamboo surround the grounds where the cabin stands eerily alone. A window is smashed from the inside, and out flies a crow. Interlude. Entering, crawling underneath a spiky bamboo fence and through the hole in the window. Inside, the walls are smeared with thick black tar and covered in fragments of shattered mirrors. The floors are flooded with a sticky substance seeping into creaking wooden floorboards. Shelves are stacked with limb-shaped porcelain pieces, carved ivory tusks and stuffed forest animals. The lights and lamps have all been smashed, and 4-inch candles held upright in their own wax burn flickering, reflecting off the black smeared walls. Event. Opening a wooden door to find a bed with frilled sheets filled with shards of mirrored glass, only to wake a frail blonde teenage girl covered in the tar and crow feathers who charges at me holding a piece of the sharp mirror. Swiftly moving to the side, she stumbles, running into a cabinet where the candles burn, knocking them over onto the sticky floor. Flames. We're both trapped inside. Closing. The cabin burns, with flames rising through the open space which was the roof, as the four walls fall into a heap of ash. From the pine forest, a man and a woman, both dressed as if from another era. Man wearing a cap, woman covered in a headscarf, faintly resembling my father and my mother, what I remember of their faces. They stand watching the fire.
Wow, what an epic performance.
Okay.
That wasn't just a reading, it was a performance, I believe. Very dark and brooding landscape that Rob Cohen has crafted in this story poem, and I believe, I would say it's of nightmarish proportions. You get that real claustrophobic feel with the imagery of the tar-laden floorboards and walls, almost as if it were a place separated from time, waiting for the event, a ritual sacrifice to the netherworld. And my favorite part was the section labeled event, opening a wooden door to find a bed with frilled sheets filled with shards of mirrored glass, only to wake a frail blonde teenage girl covered in tar and crow feathers. Just simply put, amazing. And what did you think, Captain?
I like the way he structured it. It's almost like a play with four acts, which I find very pleasing in terms of the sequence of the storytelling that he's doing, which he is telling a tremendous story. Now, to give a little background on prompt he has selected, this is called Nocturne, and it's a digital painting signed on acrylic, and it was the third prize digital art award winner. And it's quite striking. You've got this young girl with the haunting, deep-set eyes, and looks like what crows or ravens' wings emerging from the top of her head. Their hair is all black, and from her lower lip down, she's completely black and has feathers on her back. So this is a really fascinating story that he has derived from this picture. It is quite imaginative. It sounds like a John Carpenter film. it's like if this were the movie, I think it would be terrifying. But you're right, it's very dark, but so wonderfully creative and such vivid visual imagery as only Rob can create. And this is, I think this is less abstract than many of his pieces. This is a straightforward story that he has told us here, and I think it's wonderfully done.
Thank you, Captain. That was a
nice
great
comment.
And Mika, what did you think?
I really liked it. I thought there was a real... like the feeling of a parable to it.
Yes.
It reminded me of like a dark retelling of like Adam and Eve for some reason. Like he starts out with talking about himself as a child, like childhood innocence. And there's this ominous feeling of not wanting to know what's inside the house, not wanting to go inside really, but of being kind of compelled to, as you sometimes are in a dream state. And the significance of the shards of mirror that are plastered to all the walls and in the bed is like self-awareness that you, even, you know, before you have it, you're almost aware that it's coming and fear it. And then, yeah, I saw kind of a parallel to the coming into self-awareness when the blonde girl awakes and runs at him as, like, the biting into the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And at the end, there's, like, this strange – to me, it just seemed like a parallel to Adam and Eve when he's talking about his mother and father, you know, standing there watching the fire from outside. But also it worked on another level as, you know, the kind of, I guess the pathologies that your parents leave you, and then all they can do is watch the house burn down. They can't offer any help. So, I don't know. I guess I saw it on a couple different levels, and I thought it was just beautifully done. And he always writes with such depth. I'm not sure that I even approached his true meaning, but because of the way he writes, you know, anyone who reads his work is able to come away with an impression. It means something to everyone, I feel like, that reads it.
Great comment. Well done. Great observation.
Thank you. And, yeah, I agree. I think Rob's work is multi-layered, and
yes.
just from the comments that I've received previously, I think he's actually quite open to the interpretation of his work in different ways. So I think you're on point there, Mika. So next we've got a poem by Versus Goliath, and I will get Mika to read this one, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce the title. What did you say it was?
The Revere.
I think it's just Deja Reve.
Deja Reve.
Okay. Sorry, one second. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just reading. It looks like we do have Mark's piece, just so you know.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Versus?
No, I don't think. Did Versus give you a SoundCloud?
Yeah. Look, hang on. What we'll do is I'll put another piece up, and if Phil's there, I will get Poetic Picasso's piece up. So, and then I'll contact Mika about getting Versus SoundCloud up, if that's possible.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you want me to read Poetic Picasso?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Le Jardin de Nuit. I don't really know how to pronounce that, so I'm sorry, Poetic Picasso, if I butchered it. Okay. The vernal eye, seen of the seduced sunflower, watches closely over the Vestal Virgin blossoming, naked within the caresses of the awakened wildflowers, as she imbibes the sweet nectar of eternal ambrosia. Her long flowing hair of the golden silk from the threads releases the soft gossamers, floating in the gentle breeze and the fresh scent of the oil, drifting into the sudden waft to the edge of the river of leaf, beyond sensual petals of passion. Her penetrating eyes sparkle and her attraction captivates, exuding the shaped beauty of a divine goddess wrought within the visible, vestigial, chromatic shades of life, depicting the cyclic nature of seasons now and then. The sunflower will watch her as she bathes in the wine, waiting to see her swimming alone in the exotic bubbles and drying off in the nudity of the erotic sun blazing as she basks with its rays, lying in a bed of wildflowers. I don't know how to read the last part. I'm sorry, I can't.
Mika, if you go to the author note, he's got a translation there for the last stanza.
Okay. Sorry, I apologize. She was asleep in the bosom of the river Nye, with the wildflowers around her body, until she wakes up in the morning to feel their caresses once more alive. End poem.
You did it.
Thank you, Mika. I didn't realize it was such a perler. I forgot that Poetic always has that last stanza in, I don't even know what language it's in, to be honest, probably Spanish, I'm hoping. Captain would have a better idea about that.
it's French. I could have read it, but I probably would have butchered it.
Thank you very much.
My Italian is much better than my French.
Yeah. Well, Captain, would you like to make the first comment this time on the poem?
Sure. And I'm going to give a little background on if the prompts are different. We've got here, he selected the, goodness, where is it? There it is, okay. The prompt 18, which is it's called Le Jardin de Nuit. It's colored pencils, pastel and ink and gold leaf, on vellum paper. And vellum used to be fine parchment, originally made from the skin of a calf. And actually, our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence are on vellum. They're not on paper. But it's now a smooth writing paper that imitates vellum. So we don't use animal to write on anymore. This piece is, I was wondering what kind of poetry this, it's so ethereal. It's got such a otherworldly feeling to it. And his verse describes the feeling of the painting beautifully. Her long flowing hair of the golden silk and the threads releases the soft gossamers floating in the gentle breeze and the fresh scent of oil drifting on the sudden waft to the edge of the river lake beyond sensual petals of passion. He's invoking all the senses in his writing, sight, scent, texture. It's beautifully done. I mean, it's a very multi-layered piece. Penetrating eyes sparkle and attractively, her attraction captivates, exuding the shaped beauty of a divine goddess wrought. This is a beautifully written piece. Poetic Picasso tends to do very sensual verse, and this is this is actually mild compared to some of his other work, but it is so wonderfully descriptive, and I think the spot on interpretation of the selected prompt.
Thank you, Captain. Great comment. And Mika, you read it. What did you think of it?
I'm sorry, you got to miss me on this one.
No worries. I will say that I thought it was quite nuanced and delicate and had a romantic feel to it. And I think Captain was right about its ethereal nature. It was a great practice in ekphrasis with Poetic Picasso's take on it. My favorite part was naked within the caresses of the awakened wildflowers as she imbibes the sweet nectar of eternal ambrosia. Her long flowing hair of the golden silk from the threads releases the soft gossamers floating in the gentle breeze. There's a great sensual rise.
And great interpretation.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, I will have to be, I'll just say Poetic, if you ever want to do a SoundCloud, just so we don't get the last stanza wrong, by all means send one in a couple of days beforehand and we'll get that up for you. It would be great to hear it in your own voice as well. So, especially because none of
it
necessarily, Spanish is the first language, so it would be interesting to hear you read it. So.
He's multilingual, so he's French, Italian, Spanish, and English. So I will shoot a message. I'll shoot a message over to him and suggest that next time that, because he's done SoundClouds before with great effect when he reads, because he has a great reading voice. So I'll suggest to him that perhaps if he's not going to be on board to read his pieces, that he send a SoundCloud to us.
Fantastic. Now, I'm just going to find Versus link and post that again. And Mika, is that in the studio now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, awesome. Just whenever you're ready.
Okay, I will press play in just a moment on that. Okay. And Versus is hanging out with us on the board, so awesome, Versus. I'm so glad we get to hear this read by you.
Deja Revi by Versus Goliath. Sun was blue as flowers bloom gold, growing toward her ethereal glow bold, made heavens weep with her essence, Ida flew toward precious presence. A shawl thinly veiled all her naked glory, my clothes heavy, straining for allegory. Goddess undressed, man robed in doubt, her whispers achieved more in my shout. Waves crashed along her shore, her applause, vibrational worship of even her tiniest flaws, harmonious concert of nature's acceptance, song old as time itself, the perpetual dance. Clumsy man managing only to disrupt her, unbalanced, fail one moment after another. Her grace knows no bounds, assuring me. Talents come from practicing continuously. Whether dream or memory, sweet words carry me forward, using pen, not swords. Goddess blessed me so that I may roam those night gardens I now call my home. End poem.
What a great sound cloud.
It was, wasn't it? I was really impressed with that. What were you saying, Captain?
Oh, I was agreeing with you violently. I was in violent agreement with you.
So I'll make the first comment on this one. I really thought this poem spoke to me of finding one's muse. And Versa's depiction of the goddess undressed was ethereal and idealized as the prompt commands. And funny that just by chance we had two different takes on the same prompt.
Yes.
It's after each other. So I think it was also a sound job in its praxis. There was also a duality between the pedestal upon which the goddess sat and the clumsy man who, whilst adoring her flaw, seems dismissive of his value upon comparison. And my favourite part was the ending for its romanticism, where the dream or memory, sweet words carry me forward, using pen, not swords. Goddess blessed me so that I may roam those night gardens I now call home. Very well done. And Mika, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought it was lovely, and I like your interpretation that you put here of it being about finding one's muse. I think that's spot on, especially with the clumsy man managing only to disrupt her, unbalanced, fail one moment after another. Her grace knows no bounds, assuring me talents come from practicing continuously. Because there it seems like he's paying homage to the fact that, you know, just having a muse, you know, having inspiration isn't enough. That it's always something just out of reach, you know, to put it perfectly. And here he's talking about using the pen, so perhaps it's about writing. But no matter what, you know, to communicate the feeling perfectly, whether in music or painting or writing, whatever it is, it seems almost impossible sometimes. But, you know, here he's talking about the work that has to be done before you can reach that point. But the song of the siren still leads you along that road regardless. It's a really beautiful poem.
Great comment, Mika. And Captain, would you like to round out the comments for this poem?
Oh, yes, please. I agree with you. It is fascinating. And this is one of my fascinations with poetry, is you give two people or a dozen the same illustration, and you get two or a dozen different interpretations, and all of them wonderfully imaginative. I love seeing the universe through other people's eyes, and we've got two sets of eyes. We've just looked at one. Here's the other, and I love the juxtaposition that the poet has done here between the ethereal of being, and the way he's writing of her, I guess it's the male, way the poet is writing of her, it's suggesting one of the muses, because it says goddess undressed, and he's got the poet has got the juxtaposition between this heavenly being, this immortal being, a muse or a goddess, and the man, the mortal, and clumsy man, managing only to disrupt her, unbalanced, fail one moment after another. Her grace knows no bounds. And the way he's, the way the poet has written of the illustration, it could be one of the muses, like Calliope, who is the muse of epic poetry, or Thalia, who is the muse of pastoral poetry. So it could be any of the muses here, it's a fascinating, like I said, it's a fascinating side-by-side comparison of the deity and the mortal, and the differences. I think it's very nicely done, and the rhyming pattern is quite smooth, quite harmonious.
Thank you, Captain. That was an astute observation, and your knowledge of the muses is frankly appreciated.
I love Greek mythology.
Now, I'm actually
probably the only person in the world that knows that the muse of dance is Terpsichore.
And Captain, when you're ready, would you be able to read the next poem by Darkened Auras?
I live for that request, don't you know? Okay. Okay, I'm refreshing, and my screen, not me. Okay, it's still chewing. Where are we? Okay, it's playing hob with me. It's hidden late night poets. Come on now, stop that. Apparently the gremlins are playing. Oh, there we go. They're in the computer. They're having a wonderful time and they're playing hob with me. Okay, here we go. I walk through this mundane life by Darkened Auras. I walk through this mundane life, but my mind's frozen in time, back into my childhood, my youth, imagination's places so sublime. While my body goes through motions, eat, work, come home, sleep, the child in me still plays in the barn of a memory I still keep. While my body's turning brittle, and I'm losing all my hair, spirit relaxes in my childhood home, the smell of homemade cookies in the air. Barely breathing in the real world, my mind no longer frozen in time, my life flooded in front of me, I go back to those old days anytime. End point.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read, and thank you, Darkened Aura, for the poem. And Mika, would you like to start the comments for this poem?
Yeah, I really liked it. I think it spoke to the prompt really well. It was such a cool prompt. You know, there were a lot of places, I think, to go. But this one was very grounded, and I think anxieties that plague us all, it's a very universal feeling. And the end stanza I thought was sublime. Barely breathing in the real world, my mind no longer froze in time. My life flooded in front of me. I love that that description of you know, maybe infirmity or weakness in the present, but the ability that our memories have of to time travel to help us you know, flood back into who we were, what we were doing at the time. I thought it was really cool.
Thank you, Mika. And Captain, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. This was great. This is the prompt two. It is a carved wood on wood stand piece by Richard Stipple. It's called Dream. And it won second prize in the Sculpture Award. It is a beautifully done bust, neck, head, not a torso, but neck and head, but where the nose and eyes and forehead would be. Instead, there is a landscape that looks like it's disappearing into almost a black hole through the head. And it really very provocative piece. And I think this piece, I Walk Through the Mundane, is a very, it's a fascinating interpretation of this piece. When I posted this piece, I thought this is going to really get some really interesting likes, and I've not been disappointed. I walk through this mundane life, but my mind's frozen in time, back to my childhood, my youth, imagination's places so sublime, and the rhyming, the rhyming pattern in this is so smooth and melodious. It's a great feeling to it, but the interpretation of the prompt is so fascinating. This is the poet is existing in the real world, but it seems like the soul is longing for the simpler times of childhood. The child in me still plays in the barn of a memory I so keep. My spirit relaxes in my childhood home, the smell of homemade cookies in the air. And I think we could all hearken to those words because I can't speak for everybody, but my childhood has these, it's redolent with these memories of things like my grandmother doing things, and you smell something and all of a sudden your memories, your childhood memories come flooding back to you. So I think this is a beautifully done interpretation of the prompt.
Great comment, Captain. I agree with you. The only thing I'd say is when I first did my read of the poem, the saying, the end of dreaming is the die, comes to mind. But memories of a dream time long ago give solace. As you said, like the smell of homemade cookies in the air from the poem. The nostalgic tone to this poem is great, and I think they did a good job from the transition into adulthood and later life as the poem progresses with eat, work, come home, sleep. It is forlorn in part, or at least it would be if the child in the poet did not still play in the barn. So very well done.
Yes, yes. Great comment. Great observation.
I think the comments have been fantastic all around tonight. So with that, I will jump on to the next one. I'm just going to check. I believe there is a SoundCloud. I'm just going to check. No, there is not.
Will you ask Mika?
Wrong.
Ask Mika what
she thought of this piece? Did I not ask Mika?
Oh.
I commented. Okay. We'll jump on to the next one, and I'll give this one a read. Christopher S., Noctahortus. Glide beguiled to the gate that guards the night's unguarded garden, summoning the perfect, unperfected beings glamorously grotesque. The spider's web in flora speaks, desiderata black and green, soothe and warm Beelzebub in milk-white infancy, purpled lady of the lake, bathing hair in clawfoot tub, neon geckos, nudes in flight, the mermaid in the witch's sight, tempted by the prickly heat, I seek the queen of night, Persephone, and the jester's lies, all dark slide flowers betray the light, end poem.
Wow.
And Captain, what did you think?
Well, I'm looking at the prompts right now, which is the prompt 13, which is Dreamcatcher, which is a rather macabre piece. It's a spider web with a small bird trapped in the edge of it, just kind of hanging there. And that is an acrylic by Josh Keyes called Dreamcatcher. And 20, which I'm scrolling down to right now. She's scrolling, and she's stopping. Okay, what a contrast. Prompt 20, it says, a coincidence meant to happen. It's acrylic on birch, but it almost has a cartoonish a feel to it. It's a little female witch kneeling on the edge of a bank what looks like the seashore or a lake, and there's a little mermaid coming up to meet her, and it almost looks like they're just on the verge of exchanging a kiss. And it's a wonderfully colorful piece, but it is in such a contrast in feeling to Prompt 13. I marvel at the combination. This is like, you know, sardines and strawberry jam. it's a very interesting piece. But the combination, the way he's expressed it, a spider's web and Flora speaks, desiderata, black and green, soothe and warm Beelzebub in milk-white infancy. And then he goes to the purple lady of the lake, bathing hair and cloth with tub. It's interesting how he's transitioned from the grotesque. It is a very, very dark piece to this lighthearted piece with these two cartoon characters. And I find this a very is a fascinating hybrid of the two prompts.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great comment. And Amika, what was your take on it?
Oh, man, I'll try to put it into words. I really like this. I like the way that the theme is played out of, you know, the things that are dark, the things that belong to the Garden of Night, things that are seen as from the darkness really speak to light. The very first way that comes across, the spider's web and Flora speaks, Susan warned Beelzebub in milk-white infancy. I like that description of fly larva, of saying Beelzebub in milk-white infancy. You know, it's so much cooler than saying maggot in this context. You know, sometimes maggot can have a lot of force. The way that it's put in this poem, it's very beautiful. And then I seek the queen of the night, Persephone, and the jester's lies. All dark side flowers betray the light. That is such a cool part as well, especially I'm not sure necessarily if I completely get the reference to the jester's lies, but Persephone, you know, being the queen of the night, the queen of Hades, is only there because she's trapped there for a certain amount of the year. And the reason that there's spring at all, that triumphant bursting forth of all flowers and fruits and life in general, is a celebration of her return. And so to basically, I think, he's paying homage to the contrast that comes from having those dark sides, of how much more beautiful the light is made. And how much beauty there is to appreciate in that darkness.
Great comment. Great observations.
I think I was attracted to the same section that you've both identified, the spider's web in Flora speaks. And desiderata is a plural for something that is needed or wanted. And then you go on to soothe and warm Beelzebub in milk-white infancy. Miki, your interpretation was fantastic. Honestly, wondering what the milk-white infancy was referring to, and I actually thought it was referring to the web, but the maggot's idea has legs, so to speak. So I just thought it was a really creative take on Ekphraxis for Prompt 13 for that. But the fact that he's then gone on to Prompt 20 as well was a touch of brilliance, capturing that light and dark, as Mika and yourself have said, Captain. And the rhyme was really gentle. Art Junkie, one of our other poets on poetry.com, puts it helps the poem sing melodically. And I think it's in direct contravention to the bird that's ensconced in the web. Their chirp wouldn't be so melodic in that instance. So it was a great juxtaposition there.
Great comment.
And thanks. And next, I will put the next poem in, and Mika, I've got Felon's poem here if you want to give it a read, if you're available.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 1 second. Sorry. I don't know why all this stuff comes up right when I'm trying to do the show. Okay. Sorry. Okay, so this is Discovery by Felon. Baptizing alabaster skin, bottled up breath gathers along altered deep, pooling innocence to depths of being fucking dead wrong. Alumni letter is misery to involuntary attendance, a drifting school. It's living beneath the drowned and starving self-will when giving up. Anchored are a thousand of me making an ocean water cemetery. Bones buried amongst lost lands just beneath floors to current sand. Flesh offers all of free seeds while my wounds make me an easy prey. Digging wealth to oneself, its skin-deep center mass, rib chest. End poem.
Fantastic read, Mika. And thank you for the poem, Felon. And Captain, would you like to start the comments for this poem?
Sure. Or to, if I can, got myself lost here. I hate it when I do that. I'm looking for, I opened a tab on the contest, and let me hang on a second here. There we go. Oh, come on, Braden, you can do this. There we go. Okay. The prompt that was selected is a beautiful piece that has several young women. It looks like they're just draped in fabric. It's called Cardamon. Cardamon, yes. Underwater Photography. It's a gilet print. And it got the first prize for photographic awards. So apparently, this is a manipulative photograph, beautifully done. Looks like a light at the top of it that's illustrating all these beautiful women who are floating or swimming under the ocean. So I just the poem starts. Very light, baptizing alabaster skin, bottled up breath gathers along, ultra deep, and then it starts transitioning into a very dark piece. Alumni letters misery to an involuntary attendance, a drifting school, which is an interesting reference. She's got the women she's referring to them as the school, which is the same term that you would give to a group of fish. So I think that's an interesting reference that she's made there. It's living beneath the drowned and starving self will when giving up. So it gets much darker. Anchored are a thousand of me making an ocean waters cemetery. And this gets, and it gets, it transitions into the moribund. And it's a very dark piece. That's an interesting interpretation to what looks like a very ethereal prompt. So I think this is a very creative interpretation of the prompt that she selected, but beautifully done, very skillfully done.
Thank you, Captain. Great comment. And Mika, what did you think? You gave it a read.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was really cool. I really loved Flesh offers all a free feed while my wounds make me easy prey. And I thought it was so good at evoking this image of, like, if you watch the nature documentaries of, like, the ocean, like, that carcass that, like, all the creatures come and tear bits out of one at a time, and it's just floating in the ocean, just feeding all of these different creatures. Like, I got the image so strong in my mind just from that. And then to be tied into how she feels as a person, I thought it was extremely powerful.
Thank you, Mika. I agree. I was drawn to the same section, bones buried amongst lost lands, just beneath floor to current sand, flesh offers all a free fee. There is a longing in this poem for freedom from my interpretation, from oneself, but also from others. And I too feel like my wounds make me easy prey. I get the sense of being trapped from this poem in a watery cemetery, to rot to bones beneath the surface. It's a hard read and a good answer to the prompt, as Captain said. I think we have many faces as human beings, and this poem captures the fact that one cannot stop them all being submerged by the weight of the world. Very nicely penned. And
bloody brilliant.
Thanks. I was actually, you know what, the funny thing is, your contests always throw me for a loop, because we always get some really abstract interpretations. And previously my contest was so simple that it was very easy to knock out comments for 20 poems, but your contests really make people think. And I really am impressed by that. So now I've just jumped out of the link, so I'll just jump back in. And the next one we have is by Theo Onik. And it's a prompt we've had before. It's the head. But I will just pop it in the forum. Won't it be a moment? And Captain, if you could give it a read, that would be greatly appreciated.
It's just emerged on my screen, and as we say in D.C., we're walking, and we're stopping. Believe that's an obscure reference, but if you've ever taken a tour of the White House, you've got a tour guide walking backwards, and they like you're all third graders, regardless of the number of adults, and they go, we're walking, and we're stopping. it's quite ridiculous, but I like it all the same. Okay, like a teardrop fallen from the sky, by Theonic. Like the eye in a tear, drop of a blue egg's sight into your mind, finding the reflection saved by the protective blue hand of the pure city. It is you, the city and the sky, the ocean and the highest mountain of salt and calcified rocks of mold. It is you, my sea, my oceans of blue, dropped in a suitcase, along with the perfume of sweet holidays. In your head, only a reflection left of what was once the use of red, fantasies unleashed with a poet's disease, deceased melancholy of parties left. It is you, my blue flower of a blue egg's yolk, gone tired with the luster of tides, growing surf waves, going up to the mountain's saint's umbra, looking for the sweetest cold lake and good folk. There I find the rescuer of time, your youth, eternal, as the blue flower of my saint egg's blue yolk weeps. It's a teardrop petal winged on the floor of your imagination, keeps inviting your city's inhabitants to a common bath, just like in the very, very old times. Like the tear of an eye, egg drop of a clear blue sight into your mind, finding a reflection saved by the pure city's blue hand, protective. It is you, the city, and I, the sky, the ocean, and the highest mountains of salt melted onto your breakfast eggs, where calcified rocks nourish your carving structure, a craving coalesced matter, your mind, like a teardrop fallen the sky. End poem.
Great read, Catherine. And thank you, Theo, for the poem. And Mika, would you like to start off the comments this time?
Yeah, this is cool. I think it seemed very abstract, especially like certain of the terms of phrases were very foreign to me, and I like that I don't know if this makes sense, but it almost sounds like a riddle to me when it says drop of a blue egg sight into your mind, find your reflection saved by the protective blue hand of the pure city. And I like that it sounds like a riddle. I like that there's this sense of almost like throughout, like you're talking to a sphinx that you have to solve their riddle to pass by and continue your quest or something. Like there's something hidden within every line.
I totally agree with you there in that respect. I actually mentioned to Theo Onik that it was quite a lyrical and ethereal quality to it, but the repetition is interesting also. And she actually said that the repetition is something that may or may not be taken as a pleasant way of insisting upon some things, and I do agree with that. I think it also had some solid imagery in there, like the ocean and the highest mountain of salt and calcified rocks of mold. And it is you, my sea, my oceans of blue, dropped in a suitcase along with the perfume of sweet holidays. It seems to have a melancholy feel to the blue sacred also becoming a common bath, which I found quite interesting as well. What did you think, Captain?
Well, I found this piece a fascinating interpretation of that wood carving of the head, and with the landscape and the hole going through, all colored in a very pale blue. I was also drawn to it is you, my sea, my oceans of blue, dropped in a suitcase along with the perfume of sweet holidays. In your head, only a reflection left of what was once the use of red. Fantasies unleashed with a poet's disease, deceased melancholy of parties theft. I thought that was, it is abstract, but still that you I agree with you. There is a melancholy feeling pervasive in this, a longing that really doesn't quite clearly define itself. And I also like the repetition. It is you, my sea, my oceans of blue. It is you, my blue flower, and a blue egg's yolk. And when you look at the prompt, it actually, I can see where someone would interpret that as a blue egg with the yolk in the center, which I thought was a bloody brilliant interpretation of that of the prompt. But I like the abstractions. I like it does have a lyrical feel to it. I agree with you completely. And it is a cerebral piece. It you have to read it and really think, because it is so layered. It is so textured. The abstractions paint almost a Dali-esque a painting for the reader. So I think it's a very very complex piece, and I think it tests the reader, and it really makes you think.
Thanks, Captain. I agree, because even though it's got the repetition in there, I'll just make this last comment. There's slight variations to the repetition, so it catches you up. I actually had to read it a couple of times to let it coalesce in the brain. So very well done. And next we've got Trinea 3, and I'll give this one a read. It's called Phantom in the Water. I've been fed roses. Petals have been poured down my throat. I've been hushed with a daisy. I've never choked. When I begged for sleep, I became a phantom in the water. My shadow was blown and blanched in the wind. The moon is my only witness. It illuminated his tragic desire to press me. My curiosity killed his kindness. Now no one bothers me. I wonder if the sun will ever rise again. End poem.
Great.
And this is written to Night Swimming, the first prompt as well. So I just thought it was a really painful take on the prompt, deeply personal, solid write. I really struggled to separate my favourite part, for it was almost a cohesive stream of thought. The opening stanza, though, was magnificent. It reminded me of someone being censored or silenced, though the use of the flowers in the metaphor makes me think it was in a subtle manner. Death by a thousand paper cuts, almost. And my favourite line was, "My curiosity killed his kindness." Very well done. And Mika, what did you think?
I love the beginning lines. "I've been fed roses, petals have been poured down my throat. I've been hushed with a daisy, I've never choked." That is such a hook in the beginning. I feel like it was, it reminded me of being, like, growing up and realizing as you come of age that a lot of what you've been sold is given to you with a rose-colored tint, even though it's so much, so much worse than that. And when you do realize the truth, it's so shocking because you've always been acclimated to the world as a rosy, edited out picture of what it actually is, and reality just smacks you full in the face at that moment.
That was such a good comment. And Captain, what did you think?
I'm reminded of the of reading this. It's beautifully, beautifully abstract. And we get visual imagery. Again, "I've been fed roses, petals have been poured down my throat." But as I read it, "I begged for sleep, I became a phantom in the water. The moon is my only witness. It illuminated his tragic desire to press me." I'm immediately, and I don't know why, I'm reminded of the story of Eros and Psyche and how she was wed to him but told that she could not she could not illuminate the bedroom, that he would come to her in the darkness. And she became curious about who her husband was, what he looked like, because his lovemaking was so wonderfully tender. And she lights a lamp, sees that it's Eros, and in his beauty, she gets distracted. The lamp tilts, and it pours a drip of oil on him and burns him. And he wakes, and that's it. I mean, it's over. She's violated her the one stipulation. "So the moon is my only witness." It illuminated his tragic desire to press me. "My curiosity killed his kindness." Her curiosity killed the relationship. She found out that it was Eros that she was wed to. "And now no one bothers me. I wonder if the sun will ever rise again." And her sorrow of being curious enough to spoil the beautiful thing that she had been given, because she couldn't subscribe to the one condition that she was given. "My shadow was blown and blanched in the wind." That's what it reminds me of.
Wow, that's an epic comment, Captain. And next we have a poem by Star BG. And Captain, do you mind giving this one a read?
Thanks. I was hoping you'd ask me. Oh, what a ham I am. Ham I am? Oh, it just sounds like Dr. Seuss. I'm going to get away from that really quickly. Inside Midnight Garden by Star BG. Inside Midnight Garden, when shimmering light shines and footsteps move in streams of artists' imaginations, I pondered. Surrealism merges with heartbeat. Elegant dreamscapes reeling, realities blossomed, igniting soul. Eyes close as I drift in green surroundings, inside circular circumference of visions that launch timeless realm to dream. Prompt one. Mind explodes in a sea of blue, drifting in land that tantalizes senses, in dreamscape, planet calling to explore as smiles radiate. Prompt two. Inside maze of scenery, when owls fly free and nymph, self trots like horse inside peaceful realm to applaud master's vision with clapping blinks of eyes. Prompt three. Whales gracefully swim upon constellations of stars and hilltops of mind as self swims gracefully. Prompt four. Mermaids of beauty swim towards sun, enticing bubbles and thoughts to touch sea for harmony as I sing out praise. Prompt five. Oh, to move in gallery where gifts of masters bring awe inside, inhale, and stallion blue I mount divinely to celebrate rushes that dance. Prompt six. Oh, to stand in garden of dreams, surrounded by scents that filter from artist's oil for peace. Prompt seven. And once visions are captured for eternality's prism of eye, I take flight like silken black bird, winged one who drifts like painter in a vortex of poetry oiled of words, ready to whisper in a gallery of the written word. Prompt eight, end poem.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read. I think it flowed really well from one prompt to the next. But my favorite was the last prompt that you read there, Captain. And once visions are captured for eternality's prism of eye, take flight like silken black bird, winged one who drifts like painter in a vortex of poetry, oil of words, ready to whisper in a gallery of the written word. Very well done. And Mika, what did you think?
I thought it was really cool that she responded to all of these prompts and still managed to make it a cohesive piece. It's almost like you're walking through the gallery with her, so I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. And Captain, what did you think? You gave it a read?
I was reminded of Modest Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, which is a piece where he is he's walking through a gallery looking at paintings done by a very good friend of his who has passed away. And the music describes each of the pieces that he sees, and it also describes him walking this lumbering gait through this gallery. And she's done similarly without the walking, the same thing, and done it so skillfully. She's threaded them together. She's even got all the prompts at the top, which I thought was quite clever. But each one is easily a standalone, they stand together very, as Mika said, very cohesively. And I think it was it's challenging to respond to that many prompts, but she's done it quite artfully.
Agreed. And next we've got a poem by Jessica Wren. And Mika, when you're ready, there should be a SoundCloud in the studio.
Okay, I'm going to press play on that right now. I don't actually see that SoundCloud.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I'll give it a
Way on the bottom.
He, may have put it to private. I'll have a chat with him about that in the future. But I'll give this one a read for now. So it's called The Disfigured Apple. When I was born, I was like the ugly bridge everyone feared to descend, the dust of which dampening the glittering morning fog. I walked with steps of gloom. Everything seemed blurred. As I entered the maddening world, my eyes murky with pungent past as I wore a cloak dipped in mortification, my soul buried in the ashes, wishing I were dead, and I faded away into blackness. As I peeped through my broken window, I saw the pigs wrestling with dirt, with their infectious laughter rising through the evening velvet sky, lighting the moon, shedding the painful tears, rising from mud with an audacious vista. The lotus beauty mesmerizes the mortals, spelling its sublime, pristine charm amid such snows, by generations haunted, by echoes, memories, and dreams enchanted. Tale, a prairie wind on the old school road, growing new paths to the zenith. And that was written to prompt two. And Jazz Coran has a author note here. Some people are born disfigured, or some become, due to human insanity, acid attack, domestic violence, etc. You are not beautiful from outside, but what you carry inside, how many hearts you melted. People will always remember you for that. So get out and show the world what metal you are made of. Captain, what did you think?
I thought this was a very, very imaginative, very, very creative response to the prompt and interpretation, but very, very visceral. I mean, very, very, a very real response. This poet looked at this bust, and instead of seeing a blue egg or a memory of the past, they saw a disfigurement. They related to people with disabilities, which I thought was a very humane, a very deep, soulful reaching into what this prompt said to them. The pigs wrestling with dirt, but their infectious laughter rising through the evening velvet sky, delighting the moon, shedding the painful tears. I mean, that stanza just captured me, because here's, as I peered through my broken window, I saw, it is to me, it seems like an interpretation of people with disabilities, the pigs wrestling with dirt, they're wrestling with their disabilities, but their infectious laughter rising through the evening velvet sky. Despite the disabilities, their handling, their attitude is positive. It's not one of, they don't feel like they're disabled. They don't feel like they're different. That's all. And I've worked with the disabled community, and it's an interesting experience. If you've never done it, their attitudes about their differences are quite profound. Hearing disabled do not consider themselves deaf. They do not consider themselves disabled in any way. They just consider themselves culturally different. And many of them have the opportunity to do cochlear implants to give them hearing, won't do it, because they feel that part of them, it's who they are, and that's what this stanza says to me. Their infectious laughter rising through the evening velvet sky, delighting the moon, shedding the painful tears. They realize they're different in a society that requires five senses, and they have some kind of impairment, but they don't look upon it as a disadvantage. They look upon it as a challenge to be overcome. Rising from mud with an audacious vista, the lotus beauty mesmerizes the mortals, spelling its sublime pristine charm. That's what this says to me. And it's so beautifully expressed. The metaphors are so richly textured. I really admire this piece.
Great comment, Captain. Yeah. And Mika, what did you think?
I like your take regarding the person being so different, Bobby. That was cool. And I was also taken with the stanza about the pigs wrestling with the dirt, because it almost seems to me to be a reversal of the meaning of the pearls before swine, as if the way that those pigs represent such beauty in this poem, that their infectious laughter, that their joy and their delight in what they're doing at the time actually has so much meaning and adds so much to the world, that where they once wouldn't have belonged in the same sentence necessarily of beauty, they suddenly do, and the pearls do belong before the swine in a sense, I guess, if that makes sense. At first, he's talking about himself as a bridge that's broken, that no one would want to walk on as if it's just about to break. And then he identifies himself with those that would be outcasts from the normal romantic poetic devices, but elevates them at the same time.
Great comment. Great observation. Really like that.
I don't know whether you ladies have had a chance to read Jazz Curran's poems before, but he does deeply personal write. And with this one, I feel the visceral pain painted with the perfectly executed metaphor in the first few stanzas. And then you go on to the last three stanzas, and there's definitely a change in the pace, and it's more of a message of hope. And it really sets up a great ending message. And I appreciate your author note. Beauty is not skin deep. And I'm glad that Jazz Green is making their mark on the world. Very well done. Inspiring even. And just an aside note, the comments today, ladies, have been superb.
Thank you.
Same.
Great work to comment on.
Definitely. And next we have a poem by Corinne May, and I'll just put that in the forum. And Mika, if you can give this one a read, that would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. Porcelain Bouquet by Corinne May. Perimeter, as ditch lilies due to the boulevards. Bouquet is dedicated to deceased collision victims covered in glass shards. Silently rested in skin of ivory, reaching for one last sentiment, blunted arrows delicately bloom through porcelain frames, quite elegant. In loving memory engraved on granite, yellow chrysanthemums render the sun. Relaxed among darkness infinitely, wife scribed, I love you forever, hunt. Shattered state of composure, kisses lost to a cosmic dismay, hands held romantically nevermore. I'll never forget my porcelain bouquet. End poem.
Thank you, Mika. That was a lovely read. I thought this poem was immense, always graceful and forlorn. The part that really resonated with me was silently rested in skin of ivory, reaching for one last sentiment, blunted arrows delicately bloom through porcelain frames, quite elegant. In loving memory engraved on granite, yellow chrysanthemums render the sun. It hits hard, like Captain would say, like a punch in the gut, especially when you read it alongside the prompt. Very well done. This is the first time I've actually read Karina's poetry, and I was seriously impressed with and I've actually followed her as well. What did you think, Captain?
I was when I posted this particular prompt which is a, why does that keep going away? I usually try and open up the contest, and for some strange reason, I keep, something keeps overwriting it. I think it's me, me and my fat fingers. Okay, I'm trying to open the, come on, you. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. There we go. Whoops, that's the wrong one. Duh.
I think this one was a bouquet of flowers with the little hands coming out the bottom, reaching out from the bouquet.
Porcelain bouquet, white, very stark. But what's really, it can either be remarkable or unnerving, depending upon how you look at it. The stems of these flowers end in tiny hands. There's a hand at the terminus of each stem. And when I saw this, I thought to myself, that's why you see two illustrations of it on the prompts, because I wanted to highlight these hands from this bouquet. And I thought this was quite a provocative piece. And it's called Memoriam. It's hand-built porcelain by Kate McDowell. And I was intrigued by the interpretation of this. Lilies caress figures perimeter as ditch lilies do the boulevard. Bouquets dedicated to deceased. Collision victims covered in glass shards. Which, having been in an accident that if I had not been wearing my seatbelt, would have easily taken my life. I was covered in glass shards. it's kind of like when you finally land after rolling your car, your first thought is, where did my windscreen go? You're wearing it, but it's interesting. That she's made this reference to collision victims, and it's a very elegant piece in loving memory, engraved on granite, yellow chrysanthemums, and I found her selection of the color yellow interesting, because yellow roses actually are given as a symbol of death and memorial. Yellow has such symbolic meaning. It could be optimism and joy, but yellow roses also can mean betrayal or death. So the choice was quite specific when she mentioned yellow. I know she had some intent on that. Yellow chrysanthemums render the sun relaxed among darkness. Wife scribes, I love you forever, hon. The way she's interpreted this prompt with its memoriam intent, I think it's so layered and so elegant. I'll never forget my porcelain bouquet. That is, the ending line is quite impactful.
Great comment, Captain. And Mika, would you like to round out the comments for this poem?
Yeah, I just have to say that I love this turn of phrase. Lilies caress figures perimeter as ditch lilies do to the boulevards. And the way that the body is then equated to a boulevard or to a winding road almost. I guess that was the part that really stood out to me.
Thanks, Mika. And Mika, would I be able to get you to read the next poem by Lillian Rose, Revenge of the Wild?
Absolutely. Oh, and it looks like we have Felon with us.
Hey, Felon.
What's up? I'm sorry, that's my read.
Felonious.
Damn it.
Next to me.
Damn it, Felon, you've got to give me some warning. We had your poem read.
Damn. hear Lillian Rose.
Well, oh, well, hell's bells.
And when you're ready, Mika.
All right. Well, this is called Revenge of the Wild by Lillian Rose. Minuscule rivulets drip down my spine. Ice laced with virulent, rapturous vines, drenched in red rubies discharged from the sky. Bright crimson blades of rain stifled my cry. Murderous peckers that aim for my hair riddle my skin, leaving nothing to spare. Flowers crept from their trees looking for food. If I'd remained, they'd have ate where I stood. Even the pond is a bane to my being. Something slid up my leg. I felt a sting. Please get me out of this perilous place where plants have a brain and time has a face. And poem.
Thanks, Mika. That was a great read. And Felon, seeing as you're the latest to join the coven tonight, we'll get you to start off with a comment.
Absolutely. This is a very deep and very intellect write. Just starting off beginning is, you know, basically like the ants, that they're nothing but like drip jewels down her spine. Basically, they're just gnawing at her skin. And then that's just when she's freshly dead, I guess is what it's saying. She's like looking up at the sky. And then the murderers would be the crows that are coming and pecking what's left of her rotting flesh. This been left there, and the flowers crept from their trees looking for food, and that's just feeding off of whatever's left of her as well. Basically, she's saying that she's left to rot, and she's just watching the world pass by. To me, that's what it says. For it says, "Please get me out of this perilous place where plants have a brain and time has a face." Wow, a great line. I'd love to steal that one. Excellent job.
Thanks, Felon. You know what? I had a look at the image for the prompt, and it appears to be a terrarium of living plant species engulfing a human-plant hybrid. And so you're spot on there, Felon, and there's this sense of foreboding in this poem that belies the colourful prompt. But it fits, and it's very creative, and chilling in part when viewed alongside nocturnal flowers. And the quote prompt, which she also wrote to, "Don't be so thirsty for opportunity that you drink from every cup handed to you. That's how you get poisoned." This poem reminds me that being a thirsty girl, I might add, that as humans we have to have a level of discernment, lest it only be for self-preservation. And my favourite part was the first stanza, "Minuscule rivulets drip down my spine, ice laced with virulent, rapturous vines." Clever job. And what did you think, Mika?
I really liked it. I felt like this brought to mind carnivorous plants. It felt so predatory, and claustrophobic. Like being, you can imagine the death of something that is trapped by a Venus flytrap or a pitcher plant and shut in and slowly digested.
Spot on, Mika. I agree with you there. The Venus flytrap, it almost feels like when you look at the prompt, and I think they've captured that. So, Captain, what did you think to round out the comments?
I'm looking for the prompt. And I think...
If you go down to the author note, there is a link to the prompt.
That's what I thought. I love the initiative of some writers that you give them prompts and they go, you know what, I'm going to go hunting for my own, which I think is wonderful. I really applaud that initiative. And it's got nocturnal flowers, and it's almost a Dante-like figure in there that's putting their head in a crocodile's mouth, and it's quite disturbing imagery, even though it's so wonderfully colorful, and her interpretation, "Revenge of the Wild." I love the title. the brevity here is murderous peckers that aim from my hair riddle my skin, leaving nothing to spare. Of flowers crept from their trees, looking for food. If I'd remained, they'd have eaten worse. There's a black humor to this that is delightful. Even the pond is a bane to my being. Something slid up my leg. I feel a sting. Please get me out of this perilous place where plants have a brain and time has a face. I love this. This is such a clever and imaginative write. It was absolutely delightful. Of brevity, I really enjoyed it, and I applaud the author's initiative for going to the contest. And this is why I provide so much information on my prompts and my contests, hoping that one writer will say, you know what, I'm going to go look and see what else is out there. And that's what this writer has done, and God bless them for it. Somebody finally took the bait.
Thanks, Catherine. And just as an aside, Felon, your poem was very well received. So,
okay. I have to go back and
yeah. Next time, what I'll do is I will hold your poem off right until the end. So if you do get a chance to call, you can read it yourself.
If I'm on duty, I'll call, and if I, you know, I'll say, hey, I've got like a few minutes, so I got off early,
so like I'm happy to get you on later on in the night or whenever you can call, and I'll get you in on within one poem. So I'll just hold you back, but sorry, we read your poem, but it was very well received. I was so happy with it.
Thank you.
If you want to make a comment on your poem, you're more than welcome to now.
I don't interrupt your program. No, we'll just keep going.
Okay. I just saw your comment on the board. That's hilarious.
I would be really pissed if I had feet drawn like that. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, I know.
And not to mention her lady part, just too profound. I'm like, wow. They're trying to say something about her.
Lady parts.
Oh, my God. And,
that's all I got to say about that.
No gender neutral parts there, that's for sure. That's for sure. So,
great comment.
And next we've got a poem by Bunbury called Silhouette of Dermal Dust. And I'll give this one a read. It's a little verbose in part. If I can stop the coffee. All right, that should be me done now. All right, so price of emotion I can't pay this time. Weakened inside outrun my fleeting smile. Now dinner is a feast of decomposed air. That son of a night mute my rocking chair. Twigs through a pair of sonorous eyes, whispering winter's somber lullabies. Fetid snails ballet on the perch of a nostril. Sunflower neck noosed in belladonna string, wither away in a slowed progression. Impetuous hawthorn lips, dry in commotion. Thunderclouds, caged in collarbones and ribs. Below, hope is served as fossil tidbit. Crackling skeletal sticks, limp and squirm, return to where heart is food for worms. Blindsided by 3 a.m. passengers of the past, body is just a silhouette of dermal dust. End poem. And Miko, what did you think of the poem? I'll get you to start off the comments.
I liked it. I liked the comparisons. I feel like I could be wrong, but I was kind of drawn to like an interpretation of like overwhelming anxiety that hits you when you're trying to sleep, and just at the moment where you're about to fall asleep, that one thought hits you of like, what if this happens? Or maybe not that when he says passengers of the past, but more like, why did I say that 10 years ago to that one person in class or whatever it is? And it just turns you completely inside out with this feeling of dread and self-loathing. Thunderclouds caged in collarbones and ribs below. Hope is served as fossil tidbits.
I felt like, yeah, it was just speaking of that anxiety that hits you late at night.
Excellent comment, Mika. And Captain, what did you think?
I felt like Bunbury was channeling Peter Solway. It is rich with metaphors that there's a joke. I'm going to introduce this as an obscure reference. You know what you get when you cross a mafia hitman with a performance artist?
A hit and run?
No, you get an offer you can't understand. That's where I am with this poem. And it's like, it's quite colorful, but I'm not sure what the hell's going on.
Thanks, Captain. I thought the poem had some stellar phrasing. My favorite part is squeezed through a pair of sonorous eyes, whispering winter's somber lullabies. The pairing of those two lines is great, and I think the poet has basically got deep and full eyes, which is the meaning of sonorous, witnessing twigs dancing, whispering dark and dull winter lullabies. And the last line, body is just a silhouette of dermal dust, I thought was fantastic, dermal dust and water. Then there's an allusion to rhyme. It's so gentle in parts, I almost missed it. So I just thought it was really well written. I think it would require intense scrutiny to run through all of the metaphoric meaning. Very similar to a Peter Solway poem, so I totally get what you're saying there. All right.
That's why I said I thought it was channeling Peter Solway.
No, seriously. The price of emotion. Price of emotion, I can't pay this time, weaken inside. Basically, it's when they can no longer fight the feelings that they have. They're just going to go with it, and just that little piece of them die. That little piece of them die. You know, each time they do this. This time, they're just like soullessly dead. There's no spirit left in them left. And then they're just on decomposed air, and that's just because that's all that's left is decomposing because they're not progressing in life. They're not progressing with their emotions or anyone around them. And then the twigs through the a pair of the sonorous eyes whispers in the winter's somber lullabies. That's basically saying that they're keeping, that there's not even twigs that can keep them up from all of the horrors that they have in their head. Even when they sleep, they have the nightmares, but they don't want to go to sleep, so there's not even enough twigs to keep them awake. And the feared snails and the ballot and the perch of the nostril, basically some things are just slow to you. The smell of death, the smell of the death of yourself is just slow. It's just a rotting thing that's coming to you, and then it goes, then it's like the plant, the belladonna string with withered way and slow progression. Basically, it's a plant that's it's long-bodied and other things eat off of it. It serves really no purpose is what he's trying to say. Dry and commotion, thunderclouds, cage, and the collarbones, and that's basically he's got this storm brewing in the side of him and his chest, and it's beating. That's his heartbeat. And below, hope is served in the fossil tibbets. That's just him. Just everything's turning hard. His emotions are hard and stone, and then it goes crackling skeleton sticks, and basically, you know, sticks and stones that break your bones, and how it goes like that. And then blindsided by the 3 a.m. passengers, and that's the people that those little people that come out and see at night, and that's the silhouette of who you want to be, but yet you're just nothing but dust in the wind. That's what I got.
Wow! Fabulous comment. Fabulous. Fabulous comment. I read it, and I went into sensory overload. So thank you for that comment. It makes more sense to me now than it did before.
That's what I mean.
It's great to have you back, by the way. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
I really think you give a fresh interpretation on the poems. Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you for that. Well done, lady.
Now, Felon, do you have time to hang around and read a poem with us? Are you here for the next 15?
No, I'm here.
Is that a death? Awesome. Absolutely. I'll get you to read the poem by Blue Harrison. I've just put it in the forum.
Okay. This is Blue Harrison. It's called Pouring Into the Dark, Darkling Palms. I fell before the bridges were brought forth, knees mudded, moaning throat, screeching at the fecal, who swam behind my eyes, breathing abyss. Whip and manacle of weird chant. I'm sorry, this word I can't pronounce. Weird chant. Mastered by the runnel of the measures are helios in their labor state. Solvent, I think it's called, our existence steals for the lens, light, year, wait for the tides to note whole of necessities. What is truly free teams, listens briefly to the night and does not give an answer or build dams against words. Not wish to be heard, essentially, is a skin dreams into its decency and sample and never incurs a soul unworthy resurfacing in point. That's pretty deep.
Thank you, Felon. I actually learned a few new words reading this poem. So thank you for extending my vocabulary in this piece. And I reread it again, and I was impressed with the density of this brevity, which was laden with imagery. My favorite parts were whip and manacle, we are chattel, which is like personal belongings, mastered by the runnel, which is like a stream that measures our helitus in labored state. And helitus is like a breath. So very superb phrasing, very economical. And then build dams against words not wished to be heard. I just thought that was really great phrasing too. And Captain, what did you think?
This is wonderfully imaginative. I mean, she's introduced some terminology that is uncommon. I mean, you don't see the word selkie, which is it's similar to a mermaid. They're seal folk, selkie folk. They're mythological beings capable of therianopoly, which is changing from seal to human. They're shapeshifters, which I think is a wonderful introduction to a mythology that I was not just peripherally familiar with. I fell before the bridges were brought forth, knees muddied, moaning throat, beseeching the selkie who swim behind my eyes, breathing abyss. This is, again, we've got the same beautiful image of the woman surrounded by a gold leaf flowering. And this is such a dark interpretation as opposed to the other two, which were a bit more ethereal. Whip and manacle, we are chattel, mastered by the runnel that measures our helitus in labored state. This is just beautiful use of the language, a very elegant terminology, very wonderfully textured. This is a very cerebral rite. This is one of those rites that you don't. It's like cognac. You're gonna sip it. You know, you don't just gulp it down. This is a great piece.
Thanks, Captain. And Felon, what did you think? You gave it a read. I found it. I didn't realize it was so verbose. I didn't realize it was the poem. It was. Sorry to go a little deeper.
It's okay. I hope I didn't chop it up too bad for Blue Harrison. I mean, a country folk like me, we can't pronounce words like that sometimes. We know what they mean somewhat, but we just can't pronounce them. So I apologize.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is a very, very, like Captain said, very cerebral rite. It's very intelligent and very intellect and clever. At the same time, it's mystical and methodical. It has so many, wears so many hats in the arena of literary, because it speaks, and it's a timeless piece to me and a classic, and I think that it speaks of the prompt very well. Great job.
Felon. And Mika, would you like to close out the comments for this poem?
Yeah, I really love this poem. I was also drawn to the Selkie reference, especially with the ways that the poem talks about, I believe it's talking about reality and mundane reality. The fact that we humans kind of exist on two planes, on the plane of the mundane of the essentials of what we have to do to survive, our animal nature, and then also on another plane. And I think that's where the Selkie comes in, because the Selkie it is a human on land but can put on the fur of a seal and be at home in the ocean. And to me, it's like the difference between the dizzying heights of your abstract self, whether you want to call it your soul, whatever it is that thinks the thoughts, and yourself that exists in the practical reality that actually has to go to work, that picks your nose, that you know, has bad breath. You know, there's like this gaping chasm between what we are on a spiritual level and what we are in our everyday world. And I think this speaks to the gap between those. That's why she starts with, "I fell before the bridges were brought forth." It's so hard to rectify that gap.
That was a prolific comment there, Mika. I'm really appreciative to all of you. We'll have time for one more poem, but I just wanted to say, thank you for everyone who calls and supports the shows, that writes for the shows and whatnot. And as far as contests are concerned, if you jump onto allpoetry.com and go to Late Night Poets, there is a contest page for all members and hosts. And then also, if you want to check out any of the hosts, so we've got Incoherent Dust, we've got Captain B2, Victoria Frost, and myself, Neutron Bomb. And if you drill down into the contest, it'll have the current contest. So next, you're not going to believe it, Captain. We've got a Peter Solway poem. And I'm actually going to give this one a read. So it's called, it's called The Art of Eric Thor. Oh, to paint a warm world still outside Stockholm, winter of lockdown. Heater and picture of Alice in bath, keyhole opening, all manner of odd things. Not shivering with bills unpaid, desire pornographic steady hand and brush, wet tones to tame dwarf self-portrait holding a torch. Like framed art, Alice not so modest, drying herself with an owl. All hot and impressionist Renoir of palsy, but Eric the Nordic god, quiet saint at an easel looking through the keyhole, tapping wand of stalled scene. Eric the magician should write to him praise we self with dolphin, fond memories of youthful bathing, but Venus in skin, frozen Botticelli in prison. No rattles of chains, discontent with lack of change. Pope on birth control, Putin on toilet, some things beyond aesthetic interest. White snakes melting, death and the maiden thawing in Christina Munch, hissing for spring, thunder's return. Better that emotional Norwegian chasing Alice down drive gun and nothing much on. But Eric the innocent to endure through the present unchewed nipples, our paranoid of people staring from a bush. Goya in the garden, a nude Maya to imagine. Art, never the same. End poem.
Great news.
And I practiced that one because I knew he always throws us for a twist with those poems. So I thought I'm going to get the timing right on this one finally. Captain, did you want to go first or did you want me to go first with the comments? Or does anyone please. Else want to jump in?
You please.
Okay. So I just thought it was really creative. I loved how he interwove so many different concepts into the one poem. It's got a realist edge, and I don't know if I'm correct in saying surrealist in one. You've got the Alice in Wonderland references, which were quite clever. From what I could ascertain, pandemic references as well in the beginning stanzas, not necessarily the pandemic, but the realities of unpaid bills and a deep cold. My favorite part, though, was no rattle of chains, discontent with lack of change, Pope on birth control, Putin on toilet, some scenes beyond aesthetic interest. Indeed, Peter Thorway, some scenes are beyond the aesthetic, and when you look that through the keyhole, we should rattle the chains more often, and as this is how change happens intermittently and incrementally. So I thought it was a very clever piece. And Mika, what did you think?
I thought it was cool that he took the element of the way that Alice looks through the keyhole in Alice in Wonderland.
Mika, are you still there? Did you drop, or was that the end of the comment? I'm not sure.
I think she fell down the rabbit hole with Alice.
I think she might. All right, well, we'll keep going. Felon, what did you think?
I think this is very, very different, and I like it because it's unique and it's individual to Peter, and I think that he really just nailed it home. I don't know what the actual piece of art that, or prompt that he wrote to, but it for me it speaks of when life is, when you fall down the rabbit hole in life, you know, sometimes you can still be peeping through the keyhole to see what's on the other side, and it's just not so, you know, sometimes it's just not so savory and it's not very flavorful, but yet it still is, even though odd and fucked up that it is, it's still going to happen. It says, not shivering with bills unpaid, desire pornographic steady hand and brush. Wow, his wet tones to tame the drawer of the self-portrait holding the torch. And then basically I think he has a lot of innuendos to the fairy tales of Alice in Wonderland. And they got the wand, and you got the owl. And then there's another one here that says something, I think, has something to do with the, you know, Sleeping Beauty or something. They had a lot of that in there. And then what also the passage that you like, or the stanza, you know, where it says about the Pope on birth control or whatever, because he can't birth anything new in religion, and there's nothing to give to us, any kind of hope that he can give us. So you know what, he's spiritually been sterile, because there's nothing else he can offer. Life is what it is, and it's as fucked up as it is and crazy as it is, we're still going to serve tea, and we're still going to keep going, and you can still just keep falling and falling and falling. It doesn't mean there's always a bottom to it. And I like how he ends it with the Garia in the garden and the nude nausea to an image of art never the same. And nothing ever has to be the same. Just keep falling for it. Excellent job.
Great comment, Felon. And finally, Mika, what did you think? Oh, and Mika's back as well.
did I drop at the beginning of my comment, or what happened?
You dropped right at the beginning.
Alan.
Like I thought it was the shortest comment you've ever given in the history of Incoherent Dust.
Damn.
I know, right?
You know what sucks, though? I wasn't back for so long because I was there commenting for, like, so long. And now I'm trying to think of what
oh,
I even
no.
said. I was like waxing poetic about something. I don't know what you guys said, so I hope I don't repeat anything, but what I was going to say is that it's cool, this the way that he talked about Alice looking through the keyhole, and the way that it seems like you know, what you look at through the keyhole is distorted and also seems like exactly what you want. But it's almost like a grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. Because when you open the door, it might not be exactly what you were looking for. And then there's these sexual undertones. Maybe it's meant to be sexual, but maybe it's just meant to emphasize how much you want what it is on the other side. I had a longer, more coherent comment, but it just wasn't meant to be.
I think that was a good comment. But, I love it, but... Damn it, I hate it when you drop when you're having, like, poetic gold comments, and then then you've got to call back, and you're like, shit, I've got to repeat that. I can't do it. Captain, I'll make the last comment for the night, and just before that, all the poems, we've probably got another full show, which we'll do in 2 weeks' time for this prompt. or very close to. So I'll get the board up ASAP, and if anyone wants to add a poem to that to get to the get to a full show, you are more than welcome to. And take it away, Captain.
I'm just going to say that I have been back and forth through the prompts, and I cannot find any artwork by an Eric Thor. So I think Peter Solway, who has submitted work to our contest before, and I have entreated him to include the number of the prompt. And I would give my half acre in hell if that man would include the goddamn prompts in his poem. But he doesn't. And I've sent him missives. I've sent him notes. And he just promptly ignores them. So I accuse Peter Solway of mind fornication because I cannot find Eric Thor, except I think it's Eric Thor Sandberg. And this is a very bizarre artist. And he was not among the ones that I posted. So I give Peter full marks for, striking off on his own. But if he doesn't stop screwing with my head, I swear to God, I'm gonna frag the man. I can't stand this anymore. I like his poetry, but if he doesn't start putting his prompts in there, I'm just going to promptly ignore everything.
Is the last name Thornburg?
And on that note, I'm done.
I found it. I found Eric Thor Sandberg.
Hey!
I found
it. Is he in the contest?
No.
Did I go cruising past it?
I'm looking at his stuff, and it's pretty much what you've got already being pretty much there. That kind of artwork, it's pretty
yeah.
I'll send it to you.
I found Eric Thor Sandberg, but I don't see him among the contestants. And I've looked at Midnight Garden, and I don't see him as part of the exhibit. I think Peter's having, what did the Brits say? I think he's having sport with us.
No, I don't know what it is. Your first picture up there at the very top where it's the gallery, go back and look. That's what that is.
Is that really? Okay. Then
yes.
I apologize.
Ma'am.
No, it says
sure
Joseph LaRusso. Joseph LaRusso.
Except in the art is in there.
Yep. Oh, I'm lost.
Oh, my God, it is. It is. It is Eric. He isn't there.
Okay. Well, I don't see him among the. But if he's in the gallery. On that note, I acquiesce. I surrender.
All right, ladies. We are at the end of the show, so thank you, Felon, Mika, Captain, all the poets that have contributed. Again, we'll have another episode to catch all of the carryovers from previous contests and also this contest, and that'll be in the next 2 weeks. So we will get cracking. And then we've got more contests coming up. Just keep an eye out on Late Night Poets. Thanks, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you can expect more artwork from me.
Awesome.
Great.
Good
show.
Job, guys.
Great show.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.
Ciao.
Right.